Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. It's my pleasure. As always, if you just tuned in, we're glad you did that. Welcome aboard. And if you've been listening already, you know what we think about you. We consider that a sign of a high intelligence. Somebody else who I consider to be highly intelligent is our good friend Karen Kerrigan. And she is an original member of everything around here. Only me and maybe one or two other people are more original to this show than Karen. Karen was one of the very first guests we had way back in 97 when we started doing our show. And for some strange reason, she's a glutton for punishment, I guess. She keeps coming back. And I think it's because she cares so much about small business. In fact, I know that's what it is. Karen, as you know, is the president, CEO, and the founder of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, also an outstanding organization for women entrepreneurs, Inc. And she, nobody, as I've said 1,000 times before, folks, pound for pound, nobody does more for small business than Karen Kerrigan. And I'm glad to say she's our friend. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Oh, great to be here, Jim. I hope all those things that we belong to are all good organizations.
I hope so too. Well, you know, Karen, if it's associated with small business, it's got to be good because, you know, I've been saying lately, Karen, that small business owners, we're the panda bears of the marketplace. You know, everybody loves a panda story. Everybody loves to see pandas. They want to be around panda bears, right? And that's the way we are. We're so lovable and huggable and cuddly, aren't we?
Yeah, that's why the Chinese used them so much at the Olympics.
Exactly. and that's the reason why. I was gonna say something kind of snide, but I'm gonna hold that for a little while. Karen, let's talk a little bit about some of the stuff that you've been working on. Eventually, folks, during our visit, we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the Democrat convention. I want Karen to weigh in on some of that. But Karen, what's happening in the world of small business public policy? Good news, bad news, scary news, what?
Well, there's a couple things going on. You know, number one, I encourage folks to visit our website at sbecouncil.org. And in the What's New column, a scroll on the left-hand side, we just posted this week an analysis, a side-by-side comparison, a grid, if you will, of where McCain and Obama stand on key small business issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, essentially, we went through their websites, we went through all their plans, we went through, you know, some of their announcements, you know, track what they were saying in the media, and to the extent that we could, you know, put together this bulleted grid. So I think that's going to be very helpful for small business owners and entrepreneurs, certainly for the public and the media, and that's been getting a lot of attention. And, you know, sometimes you want a candidate to say, here is my small business plan, and we wish they would do that, but oftentimes they have to go through all the components of all their other plans, like energy and taxes and, you know, their economic plan, and then pull out the most important things that affect small business, and we have done that and put that up on the website. So that is a good tool for
now.
Folks.
That's on the left side of the website.
Yes, yeah, you know, what's new?
The
number one item that comes up, and you can't miss it. It says, you know, where the candidates stand
okay.
on small business issues.
All right.
So we've done that as a service to our members and the small business community, and folks should look at that because, you know, we've read a lot of media reports. Well, they're not saying anything on business and economic issues, and really when you read into the stuff and get deep, they actually are. They provide a clear roadmap of where they're going to take the country, where they're going to take policy. Are they going to be more restrictive and regulatory? Are they going to, relieve small business owners from taxes and regulation? Or are they going to impose more, you know, through their health care policies, their workplace regulation policies,
things
really, like
that? This is really impressive, Karen. I've got mine opened up here.
Oh, good. Jim,
I don't know why I had not... I don't know
You're
why
like
I had no reason.
You're, You're my best student, you know, and our best member, because you are a member of the SBE Council. And
for a long time, but I know your website. I don't have any trouble finding your stuff. I know it very well. But this is really important stuff here that you've done with the side by side on the taxes and all the other stuff, folks. This is a kind of information I really hope that you'll check out. You've heard me say many times before, folks, and Karen, you've heard me say this too.
Right.
I want to see more small business owners become single-issue voters for their small business.
Right.
You know,
right.
Okay, you're single-issue for environment. You're single-issue for you know, pro-life, pro-choice. You know, you want to make sure that, you know, I don't care what your issue is, folks. If you're a small business owner, how about being a single-issue voter for your small business?
Yep. I think, you know, really, because when you become a single-issue voter for your own small business, you're basically becoming a voter for the health and vitality of the economy,
exactly.
For job creation, innovation, all those important things that make our country great.
Absolutely. Well said. Karen Kerrigan, ladies and gentlemen. She and I will be right back after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Donovan to take us out.
I changed my way. It'll take time, I know it.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. We've built them for you. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use our stuff. Smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. So that's that. The second one is the knowledge base. The first one is where you get the show and all the other stuff we do here. Karen Kerrigan is our guest. Her website is sbecouncil.org. I like telling you that about that website because it's an important one, a very important one. She's the president, the founder of that organization. Karen, we were talking about some of the stuff going on. Is anything going to happen that would benefit small business owners between now and the election?
Well, I think the one big issue from our perspective, you know, we've always focused on energy policy,
right.
And the need, energy supply policy, the need for the U.S. to produce more supply, to incentivize the private sector, to accelerate the development of alternative energy. And when the Congress gets back, I mean, there's a very important issue that they're going to be faced with. On September 30th, the ban on offshore drilling and oil shale recovery on federal lands expires.
Right.
So if the Congress simply does nothing, absolutely does nothing, then that would open up, you know, portions of federal land to exploration and development. And so that is being dubbed Energy Freedom Day,
mm-hmm.
by Senator Jim DeMint and Congressman Hensarling. Again,
God bless those guys, because they've been keeping the pressure on the Democrats, on anybody who is not in favor of the United States maximizing our natural resources.
And we know we could do this in a friendly way, environmentally friendly way. I mean,
yep.
That's in the best interest of everyone. It's even more cost efficient, my gosh.
Right.
You know, to do it that way because of legal issues and other factors. But, you know, as you know, the House Republicans have been staying in
mm-hmm.
session, quote unquote,
yep.
on the House floor, urging the congressional leadership, the Democrats, to come back
and they've it's worked, hasn't it?
It has. You know, but both Obama and Speaker Pelosi, they're like, okay, we'll have some type of vote, we'll do some type of compromise, but they're back and forth on this, and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, then we saw yesterday where Speaker Pelosi was going past a group of demonstrators who were yelling, drill now, and she was like, well, why don't we drill your brains, you know?
Oh, my, did she say that?
Yeah, if you go into the judge page, it's been widely reported on Politico.com. You know,
holy
so
mackerel.
So it's, you know, do you really respect the position or not? You know, or even, you know, gosh, I mean, handling yourself in a public way,
no kidding.
You know, when people basically are in opposition or don't agree with you on positions.
As the teenagers would say, that was mature.
That was sure. That's right. So, you know, so that's going to be a really critical issue. And you've got a lot of Democrats who do support, you know, basically shutting off that ban. So, you know, it's if they did nothing, that's the best thing that Congress can do in order to help energy supply. So that is a critical, critical issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even have to do anything, Jim.
Just stay home. Just they could
right.
phone it. They could phone it in, couldn't they?
They could. They could. So that is
yeah.
that really is the most important issue at this point. I mean, there could be a couple of votes that you know, the House and Senate leaders, or mostly the House leaders, may decide to have that where they want to make a point, you know, coming up on the elections in terms.
Are they going to actually do their job and pass a budget?
Gosh, that is a good question. We don't know that. We don't know if they're just.
Why don't we figure out how to make it where if they don't do their job, we got to come up with certain things. If they don't do their job, they don't get paid. How about that?
I know. Well, yeah, that's. We'd love for something like that to happen. That type of accountability measure. But Jim, they say they're only going to be in until, you know, only going to be in 3 or 4 weeks, and they go back
yeah.
and campaign.
Yeah.
So, you know how much would have to be done within that. That compressed period, I don't think it's possible for them.
They can't even agree on what kind of fruit to have in the fruit cup at lunch in
right.
that period of time.
That's right, because, you know, some might be imported, some might be, you know, domestic.
Yeah, exactly.
But at any rate, so those are, you know, that would be, from our perspective, you know, given, you know, we're watching that issue very, very closely, because on the other issues, they're not going to do anything on a comprehensive or even on an incremental basis to help small
but that would
costs.
Be a really important thing to do based on just jawboning, Karen. Look what's happened to the price of oil. Nothing
right.
more than jawboning. And if Congress actually just, you know, took a pass, just went to lunch or took a day off on that day that when the thing expires, the next day, I'm convinced that the speculators who have every right to be in the marketplace would quit going long on oil. They start going shorter on oil. They drop below $100.
Right. Well, the danger is now, is that because you know, there's public support, you know, to let the ban expire, because Democrat members are getting a lot of pressure. And want Pelosi to do something on this, that there may be some type of quote-unquote compromise.
Oh.
And there is one floating in the Senate right now, which would allow drilling, but it would limit it. It would restrict, you know, what type of drilling can be done.
Yeah.
It would impose taxes on oil companies. I mean, it would be
The Democrats, Pelosi probably stick a minimum wage rider on there or something. or probably, you know what they probably do? They probably say, okay, you can have drilling, but we also have to have card check too.
Exactly. But you know what? There is a veto-proof majority in the House that's already mm-hmm. signed a letter that said, nope, we're just going to either let the ban expire, and if you don't,
good.
If you do this under legislation, then forget it. They already have it. So
good.
It's going to be very interesting to watch.
Over the next 30 days or so, folks, take a quick break. Right back with Karen Kerrigan. I want to get her thoughts on what's going on in the Democrat convention this week. And we'll do that right after these messages. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. You're not sitting there alone. I'm happy. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Karen Kerrigan, the president, the founder of the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council, SBEcouncil.org. It's a site that I encourage you to go to. By the way, I'm going to repeat it one more time. Go to that site. Go to the left column. There's a scrolling resource there that will identify one of the features that is there is a link to a side-by-side comparison of the presidential candidates on key small business issues. Karen Kerrigan, you and Ray Keating and the rest of the folks in your team, thank you for making that available.
Oh, our pleasure. It just, you know, it really it was time to do it, particularly. You know, given the fact that, you know, they were coming out with some additional information. But what we did say in our introduction, Jim, to this piece was that we are going to update it on a regular basis. We
right.
open more information from the campaigns themselves, as well as, you know, our members and the public. If they have additional stuff to add to that we're missing or that we've missed,
right.
we'd be more than happy to look at it, include it, You know, we want that grid to be as comprehensive, updated, and
accurate
as possible. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for that. And I wish every small business owner, from no employees to 1,000 employees or 500 employees, I wish every small business owner could see that grid. It's fascinating, folks. Karen, let's talk a little bit about the convention this week. By the way, I don't know if I'm going to live through 2 weeks of the Olympics and 2 weeks of political conventions. This is killing me. I mean, I'm an old guy. I'm used to going to bed early. This is killing me. But seriously, the convention, the Democrat convention, what do you think about how it's been going so far? And blend in there what you thought about the pick for VP for Mr. Obama.
Well, certainly, and this is an understatement, the Olympics were more compelling. and you know, that didn't bother me staying up to, you know, midnight or 1 o'clock, you know, watching the events. You know what, I think the ratings show this, and they might say people are on vacation. I just don't think the convention is that compelling. I don't think they're talking specifically about issues. You know, I think, you know, what they're largely focused on right now is unifying, you know, the Democrats. Well, you know, you've got the public, you know, many of them independent.
Right.
Some may be Republicans thinking about voting perhaps for a Democrat. Maybe they don't agree with where the Republicans are, not all Republicans, but the candidate
right.
and the current administration on the war, for example. And I just don't see that level of specificity or where they're, you know, saying this is where we differ. And instead, it just seems to be a big PR show, and I know these things are supposed to be to a certain extent, but I am just I'm not seeing.
Where are the new issues, Karen? I mean, all I'm hearing from Michelle Obama and from Senator Clinton, I heard both speeches, all the issues that I heard were old issues, 20th century issues, things like you know, universal health care.
Right.
I mean, that's old stuff, folks. This isn't universal health care is not a 21st century solution. It's a dream of the 20th century.
Right.
And you know, I heard Senator Clinton say something last night that I've never heard a Democrat politician say. We all know that the Democrats are beholden to the unions, but she said something last night that I thought was very interesting. She was talking about she was hopscotching across all the different key constituents that they have to keep happy. And she used the word, she didn't say, and support for unions. That wasn't what she said. She said unionization.
Mm-hmm.
She used that word. Karen,
yeah.
I've never heard one of them use that word before. Unionization. And what that said to me was, if everybody ought to be unionized.
Right, right. And that's a scary...
That was a telling word to use.
Well, because there's a difference between, obviously, if you have a free vote or a private vote to whether you want to join a union or whether it's forced unionization. And
yeah.
We certainly know that where Obama stands on this issue is he would support this card check mandatory.
Is that going to come up this year? Has that got the critical mass to come up this year?
Not in the Senate. I mean, it passed
yeah.
in the House, but they don't have the votes in the Senate. It
yeah.
didn't pass, you know, it didn't get to that 60 vote threshold.
And the president would veto it if it did, wouldn't he?
He would, absolutely. He would absolutely. And given the time that's left now over on the... you know, what's left when they come back. It'll be very difficult. You know, who knows? I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think it's
yeah.
something that they're going to focus on. It's something that they're using as a, you know, an issue during the campaign.
Right.
So that's, you know, that is a very dangerous issue for small businesses because the unions would come up with a turnkey approach. And after your workplace is unionized, forced unionization, that and you can't agree with the union on a contract,
mm-hmm.
then you have mandatory arbitration, 2-year lock-in contract on terms really bad for small
Never
business.
Mind the fact that the people who would have to vote in public, not private, under that law. Hey, Karen, we got to wrap it up. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for all you do for small business.
Oh, Jim, my pleasure.
Karen Kerrigan, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I will be, too, in the next hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.